Hey, good evening. How's everybody?
Hello.
Good to see you guys. My topic tonight is the true fast. Yeah. It's quite a popular subject these days, isn't it? Seems like everywhere you turn, everybody's talking about fasting. There's the intermittent fast, the one meal a day fast, the extended fast, more than a day. There's the wet fast, there's the dry fast, and probably others, I don't know. people abstain from food for all kinds of reasons, right? Weight loss, that's the big one. That's the one I started in the Army. Very effective. Don't want to be part of the fat girl club. You don't want to have to go to their routines. You got to get down to what they say your weight's got to be, right? There's also people who fast because they have medical conditions. For example, people who have diabetes fast, a lot of them, because I guess eventually you get rid of it. I don't know. I think you'd have to ask your doctor. I don't know anything about that. People fast have cancer, have had good results with that. Fasting's all over. Some people fast to obtain a natural high. Or, right. I've never been there. And they also say that, you can get spiritual enlightenment. Maybe it's the kind of spiritual enlightenment that Jesus experienced after 40 days of his fast when the devil tempted him. You got to check that stuff out, right? I mean, just don't, So fasting's all over the word. You see it all over the word. You also see it in other religions. So, evidently it's something that's effective, something that's caught on, right? How many people abstain from food for godly reasons? Because of God. Huh? I was confronted with this, honestly, and I thought, all these reasons for fasting, but the people, you want to do it God's way? Yeah, that's the big deal, right? Now, if you go to Isaiah 8, please. I'm going to read you a portion of this text that was taught as a condemnation of fasting at a ministry I used to belong to. Okay, so Isaiah 8. We look at context, the way that verses contained within, a chapter, right? You look at the immediate context for a verse. This is Isaiah 5 through 8. Is this such a fast as I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush? To spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then thy light shall break forth as the morning, and thy help shall bring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee. The glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Okay, is that a condemnation of fasting? Look at verse 1. Chapter 58. I misled you. Okay, so verse 1 says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show thy people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness and forsook not the oath of their God. They ask of me ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching to God. Verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? So what's God's answer? Behold, in the day of your fast you find pleasure. You exact all your labor. And the NIV, it says, why have we fasted, they ask, but you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves, they ask, but you take no notice? Look, on your fast days you serve your own interests and oppress your workers. So were they acting in love? No. Love thy neighbor as thyself? Was that going on? And there's something that's interesting. There's a gazillion verses on fasting. A lot of them have to do with humility. I don't see any humility evidenced here. Right? You know, what's the opposite of pride? Right? Okay. So I think it's interesting. You don't have to turn there. But in Zechariah, you're not going to turn there. 7 verse 5, it says, God said, basically, in effect, that your 70 years of exile, was it really for me that you were fasting? You know, so this kind of goes along this line, right? So you see in this context that you can't violate the principle of loving your neighbor as yourself and expect to get results from prayer and fasting. So there's a little more to a true fast than just not eating, okay? So one of the best verses, I think, that shows you this is in Matthew 6. We seem to be in Matthew 6 an awful lot. Have you noticed that? Lots of stuff, lots of good meat here in Matthew 6. But I wanted to go to a verse that talks about prayer first before we go into the verse about fasting, because I wanted to show you the similarity here, okay? In Matthew 6, verse 5, it says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. Ooh. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corner of the streets, so they may be seen of men. Show-offs, right? Verily I say to you, they have the reward. But when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Okay? So, hypocrites pray this way, right? And you should pray that way. All right? He said pretty much the same thing about fasting if you go a few verses down. Go to 16. He says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may not appear to men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Once again, show offs, right? But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto man to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Once again, hypocrites fast this way, you should fast that way, right? See the parallel? All the time you see prayer and fasting together. And there's plenty of reasons for this, and I'd say so many times you see people praying and fasting in sackcloth and ashes, right? It's all over. And it's sorrow. They want God to comfort their hearts, right? So they're sitting there and they're bewailing or they're mourning. And this is an expression, you know, they're desperate. They want God to heal them. They want God to, you know, so this is one of the reasons that a lot of people in the Old Testament fasted. They wanted God to heal their hearts. They wanted God to intervene for them. So we can go to Matthew 16. You can see that primarily in the Old Testament, there's a lot of fasting that goes on. And, you know, it's not the only reason people fast, but it seems to be a big one. You know, people fast for sorrow. People fast. David fasted because, you know, take not thy Holy Spirit from me, right? And pray. He also fasted when he and Bathsheba's child was sick. He didn't get an answer from God that he wanted. But, you know, that these are examples of people fasting in that context, okay? So Matthew 6:16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. Here's the hypocrites again, right? The show-offs.
Did you say 6:16 or 16?
16:16. I'm sorry. Did I mislead you again?
Yeah.
That's not it either.
I love you.
I think you meant 6:16.
Did I? 6:16? It says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure. That's 6:16? Okay.
Yeah, that's 6:16, sure.
All right, so, you know, bad Hadley. So basically, you don't fast to show off how holy you are. You know, you contrast with the hypocrites with the right way, you know. Genuine fasting is about humility, not pride. You know, you got that glass ceiling between you and God. You know, the heavens are like brass. Earth is like iron to you. Maybe you've got something in your life that's separating you from God. So before you pray, before you fast, you know, Nick says in his deliverance CD, some steps to deliverance, and one of them is, I believe, going and, you know, confessing your sins to God and asking His forgiveness. And, you know, and there's several ways that you can do this, but basically, genuine fasting is all about humility. And so before you fast and pray and you get into a serious devotional, you need to make sure that you're right with God so you can get those prayers answered, so you can get the healing that you want and need, whatever it is that you're going to God for. And another thing is, in Matthew 6, it says, when you fast. It doesn't say if you fast. So, kind of looks like God's expecting a little fasting going now and then, okay? All right. Have you ever considered that fasting is a tool in your spiritual tool chest? I mean, don't be hasty to dismiss it. So, is there fasting in our administration? Is there? Take a look at the church epistles. Corporate fasting began the first outreach program in Acts, did it not? How about Acts 13? Now, hopefully I won't mislead you this time. Acts 13. Okay, here they are. They're believing for prophets and teachers. So how did they choose them? Now, there were in that church that was in Antioch certain prophets and teachers such as Barnabas and Simeon, that is also called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Menahem, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered, the NIV has worship, to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Okay? Corporate fasting. So they called together the leadership and they fasted and prayed. They focused in on the task till it was done. They turned off their television. They turned off their cell phones. They, they went until they got the revy from God, and they went ahead with their task, okay? So you also see the same thing in the next chapter in Acts 14. They're picking elders again, so they want to be sure they're picking the right people. So leaders fasted and prayed before they made important decisions. Okay, so here we have Acts 14, number 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and taught many, they returned again to Lystra, to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, okay, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they've believed. So once again, fasting indicates they gave up all the activities, waiting for the Lord to speak, the Holy Spirit to speak to them, okay? They took time off from everything else to wait on God's strategy, okay? There are times you need to do that in your personal lives too. You want God's strategy. You have an important decision to make. Do I take job A or do I take job B? Some of you would like to be in that position if you're looking for work. I'll take any job, God. No. But I'm saying you've got a lot of things that you can do. So apparently we learned from Matthew 17, I hope I'm right. There are certain spirits that can only be cast out by prayer and fasting. Okay? Verse 18. 17:18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Am I going too fast? I'm sorry. Okay. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, "Why could we not cast him out?" And Jesus said unto them, "Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." All right? So certain situations, you need that fasting in there, okay? And also something else that struck me too is that you don't have to reach a certain degree of righteousness to be effective at fasting. You have to humble yourself. Look at Ahab, right? Good old Ahab. This is in 1 Kings 21. Ahab was one of the most wicked kings of all time, right? Especially for Israel, I imagine. Remember old Jezebel? Yes, 1 Kings 21.
Thank
you. Yeah, so evil Ahab shows the proper response to the judgment of God, right? Here we go. But in verse 25, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. And he did very abominably in following idols, according to all the things as did the Amorites, who the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words," you know, obviously the words of the prophet, right, that he was going to die, "he rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went quietly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, Seest thou how Ahab humbleth self before me? Because he humbleth himself," humble, right? "Humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring evil upon his house." So, you know, it's not just for the evil guy, even the Gentiles. Remember Jonah and Nineveh? We won't turn there. The whole city, remember what was Nick's last teaching? Including the animals fasted and prayed. Okay? So speaking of corporate fasting, citywide fasting, everybody, you know, it was very effective. So we'll go to Esther, why not? You guys like Esther, don't you? That's going to be the new sight and sound, right? Esther. Yeah. Well, I don't think tickets are on sale yet, but they revealed what it's going to be. So isn't that exciting? Don't you love Esther? Okay. Esther verse 4. I mean, Esther 4 verse 13. So Esther's reluctant to go before the king, right? And you know the circumstance. Anyone who goes to the king, in front of the king uninvited, it's instant death unless, you know, the king stretches out his scepter to them. So in verse 13, when Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from some other place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Okay? So Mordecai tells her, you got to do it, babe. You know? Then Esther bade them to return Mordecai this answer. Go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, day or night. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So things, she was in a desperate situation. So she fasted and had all her friends fast too. You know, all the Jews fast and so Shushan. So fasting is a powerful tool in her tool belt, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. So you remember the record, she got her interview with the king and intervened with the Jews in their land. Okay, so, all right, so that was the book of Acts. Maybe they got cured of fasting when we got to the church epistles, right? Yep. 2 Corinthians 11. Okay, the Apostle Paul was busy. Busy guy, busy guy, busy guy, right? All over the place. But he wasn't too busy to fast. And remember, guys, we need to pray for leadership. Leaders are responsible to lead from the front, okay? Lead from the front. And they have to go further into the fray spiritually. So you need to pray for your leadership, okay? I'm sure Nick hasn't gone through what Paul went through, but I'm sure he's been through a thing or two, all right? So 2 Corinthians 11, okay, 23 through 28. So are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes save one. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and the day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, he can't eat. Okay? This is not him willfully not eating. He can't eat. In fastings often. In this case, he chooses not to eat. Right? In cold and nakedness, besides all these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all these churches. So Fasting and prayer was part of Paul's arsenal. So maybe you should consider taking it on yourself, okay? Now, there's some, you say, well, what have I got to fast for? You know, what's so pressing in my life that, you know, this is an issue? Well, John Wesley would not ordain anybody to the Methodist ministry unless they committed to fast on Wednesdays and Fridays. Did you know that? Ben Franklin fasted. Well, he's not exactly a religious man, but he did that. But here, you don't have to go to 2 Chronicles, but in 7:14, you should be familiar with this verse. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Does our land need healing?
Absolutely.
Do our politicians need healing?
Amen.
I mean, look at the assault that's been on our nation since I've been a kid, since you've been a kid, right? The primary way people humble themselves are fasting. If you're very concerned about our nation, for instance, perhaps you could take time to pray and fast. Now, I've talked a lot about fasting, and of course, it's much more than abstaining from food. It's like dropping everything. Turn off the TV. Turn off the phone. Drop to your knees and pray. Okay, maybe you get sore little knees, a little arthritis there. Maybe you want to lie down or sit in a chair, whatever. How long? Until you feel the job's done. Okay, done for the night. It's all I can do, Lord. I'll do it again. You know, another time. 20 minutes, 2 or 3 days, whatever you need to, you'll know. If Nick would ask you to pray and fast for something, would you do it?
Yes. Sure.
You know, he might have a season of prayer or a night of fasting. I'm sure you could. So when would you fast? Just a couple days a week, maybe routinely fast? You could skip supper. You know, it doesn't have to be anything, any long, egregious thing. Just cut out dinner. That's, you know, if you've never fasted before, that's an easy way to start. And then, you know, if you get a little more encouragement, maybe you can back up the tree, skip the lunch, you know, whatever. Just find a quiet place to do your devotionals. There might be special occasions where you could fast. You know, suffering the death of a loved one. You find no comfort, you know, you got that burden on your heart. Maybe that's the time to pray and fast and just seek comfort from God, okay? You get peace that passeth understanding. I mean, nobody else can understand why you're peaceful in that situation, but you've done your work, you've done your background there, and God's given you that peace. There are many biblical records of this sort of thing. And you can always ask somebody in authority to come over for emergency issue to help you pray and fast. You know, that's something you can do. So how do you fast? You know, there's a method that'll work for you. My recommendation is that you somewhat follow Nick's steps in the deliverance class he did a few years ago. Before you get in there, make sure you're humble. You know, since God resists the proud, and you have verses that insist you go humbly to God with your prayers and fastings, that you begin, you know, if you got something on your mind, you hurt somebody's heart, you broke fellowship with God somewhere, you know, go to God humbly and ask Him forgiveness. Take care of that stuff first. You know, then go to the Word. Right? I think that would be a good step too. You have verses that you like. Maybe you can pull out a few verses that you like to go over when you do this kind of thing. That you can, you know, next just, you know, that's sometimes the greatest information or revelation to you comes in that time when you're reading the Word, right? God speaks to your heart. And then lastly, just begin to pray. You know, a prayer list helps, but it's important to go over any issue or concern on your mind. You just go till you're done, okay? Once again, it can be 20 minutes, a couple hours, sometimes a couple days if it's really a bit long time since you've done it, you know. And, you know, I think maybe you can end just being quiet in God's presence, you know, until it's time to go. You know, it's up to you how you do this, however. That's just what I think. You know, that's just my opinion. And, you know, you do what works for you, okay? Mm-hmm. Abstaining from food's the easy part. Trust me. I've been in so many fasts so many times where just losing weight, and it's the easiest way to go. Better than all the calorie counting and all the mixing this and that and things that people do on diets, okay? I recommend, you know, in the beginning you just skip a meal. You know, that's the easiest thing. And don't go beyond that till you are comfortable with it. Once again, I fasted to lose weight. It's not very spiritual. Honestly, it's not spiritual at all. I basically only ate when I was hungry, and which was about once every maybe a meal a day. But it's much easier than a diet. Build flexibility into fasting. If friends want to go out to eat, go out to eat. Fellowship with them, you know, walk in love. You know, remember the main point of fasting is not what you don't do, but what you do, putting God first, like you committed to do when you did Romans 10, 9, and 10. Right? Okay, so basically, that's all I have for you about fasting. You know, basically it's humility. There's many reasons people fasted in the Bible. It helps you. It's a tool in your tool chest. And there's so many things I've heard about fasting and that I've read about fasting. You know, it's just, I just can't go into it all. But basically, you know, the spiritual fast is you and God. It's you putting God first and getting down to put all distractions away. Just like the married man, you know, or the married woman, you know, they go in to pray, right? That, what is it?
First Corinthians 7.
Yeah. You know, that was just, you got something real important that you got to pray about. You know, you just put everything up and just get it done. Okay, I hope that blessed you. And you guys have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Lynn.